For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Cultivating happiness. True happiness and true power lie in understanding yourself, accepting yourself, and having confidence in yourself. According to Thich Nhat Hanh, one of my teachers, joy or happiness, and some people distinguish between those two words, but I'll use them interchangeably, are a natural capacity. All it takes is to live fully in the present moment. It sounds easy, but as adults, it's not so easy. But babies and toddlers know how to find delight in the simplest things. But we get so wrapped up in presenting who we are and accomplishing things that we actually forget how to enjoy the moment. Many people feel happiness is not attainable, that it's only for the lucky few, and for them only when the stars are aligned. So as adults, it takes intention to turn toward happiness. We can choose to be happy, and we can build our happiness skills. And since happiness is impermanent, it's not going to last forever. We need to choose this over and over again, every moment, every day. William Blake said, "He who binds himself a joy does the winged life destroy, but he who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise." There's basically two different ways to cultivate happiness. One is happiness based on external circumstances, and the other is happiness for no reason. We often think that we need some kind of experience to create bliss in order to be happy. I will be happy when this happens or when that happens. External circumstances can make us feel happy if we allow ourselves to feel happy. But the only problem is we're not in control of the external circumstances, and they are very rarely perfect. The external circumstances arise from different causes and conditions, and they go away with different causes and conditions. And so instead of loving what is and being happy, our inner complainer starts complaining, telling us how it could have been better or how it won't last. And so instead of feeling happy, we suffer because it wasn't perfect, or we know it won't last forever. So when we're chasing after or trying to hold on to happiness, we're really contracted from feeling the fullness of joy. When you think about, I have this good thing and I know it's not going to be here forever, we have the choice of savoring it. But too often what we do is we cling too hard, and we focus on worrying about how are we going to hang on to it when we know it's going to go away. What we usually try and do is capture any joy that comes our way before it can escape. We have our butterfly net and go after joy like a hunter stalking prey. We hide and wait, pounce on it, catch it, take it home, and put it on our wall. When our friends come to visit, we say, "Hey, Stu, would you like to see my joy? There it is on the wall, dead." We try to cling to pleasure, but all we succeed in doing is making ourselves frustrated because whatever it promises, pleasure simply cannot last. This is according to Agnes Iswaran, who's a spiritual teacher. So when we are dependent on external circumstances for joy, we want to catch it and hold on to it and cling to it, but the external circumstances change, and so the pleasure doesn't stay forever. There's another way to cultivate happiness, and that's to be happy for no reason. We cultivate happiness by cultivating positive states, because whatever you frequently think and ponder on, that becomes the inclination of your mind. A mind that's in a state of joy is predisposed to notice what's beautiful and pleasant. and at the same time tends to disregard what's unpleasant. Perceptions that arise in a joyful mind tend to emphasize the positive aspects of whatever we see or hear or feel. The glass is seen as half full rather than half empty. If we train our minds to look for the good in life, we'll see more of it. It's only when we're living in the present moment that we can experience happiness for no reason. As we grow to understand our happiness mental states, we can become aware that happiness doesn't need to be dependent on material possessions or pursuits. Joy, the heart's celebration of life, comes from the feeling of aliveness when we let ourselves be open to what is. Think of when you see a beautiful sunset and that's all that is in your mind is the sunset. You feel that unbridled joy. We don't experience joy when we're living in our thoughts. When we're thinking about a sunset, it's not the same as seeing the actual sunset. With mindfulness, happiness becomes more of a choice than dependent on perfect external conditions. Happiness for no reason is celebrating the life that is here without being dependent on things being a certain way. Thich Nhat Hanh says, many people think excitement is happiness, but when you're excited, you're not peaceful. True happiness is based on peace. If you think about it, excitement brings with it a restlessness, a contracted urge for more. Joy that results from curiosity is smoother and it's really more open rather than contracted. Joy arises from being attentive and curious. Excitement, on the other hand, requires that something has to happen to us or requires us to procure something we want. We have to do something to get what we want for excitement. So what keeps us from experiencing happiness? Sometimes it's a restlessness that wants things different. It could be a feeling that something is wrong or something's missing. Or maybe there's a painful feeling or body sensation. And maybe it's simply just a story you're telling yourself about the limits of the future. So let's take a moment to reflect on what keeps you from experiencing more joy in your life. You'll want to sit in a comfortable position, and you may choose to close your eyes or lower your gaze for this reflection. And begin by taking a couple of deep breaths. And ask yourself, what's between me and experiencing more joy in my life? And now let's set that one aside and take a couple of deep breaths. And ask yourself again, what's between me and experiencing more joy? And setting that answer to the side, take a couple of deep breaths. and ask yourself one last time, what is between me and experiencing more joy? And setting that aside, when you're ready, you may open your eyes. And let's use the chat box to just share what, and you can just click on, if you put your cursor toward the bottom of the screen, if you're on IBM, you'll see the chat function. And you can choose whether you want to send it to everyone or just to the host, which you would have to scroll down. Let's see. So if you just simply type into the chat box, what is between... what's between you and experiencing more joy? So we can all see. Okay, my negative thoughts. Strength to be myself. For me, it was needing things to be a specific way. Expectations. My need to be right is another one that I had. Any other? So there's a lot of reasons why we don't allow ourselves to really be as happy as we could be. And one of the reasons that we're often not happy, oh, here's a couple more. Life not turning out the way you plan, the need for control, shyness, absolutely, the need not to be vulnerable. There's common perception that we think a craving is going to bring us happiness. We think that having chocolate is going to bring us happiness. Or having something is going to bring us happiness, something that we crave. And if we want to be happy, we don't have to give up the object of our craving. We don't have to give up the chocolate. We just have to give up the craving for it. Because we can see that our cravings make us suffer. They don't really create happiness. When you're craving chocolate and you don't have any, you suffer. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy chocolate when you have it, but we really need to look at what's getting in the way of our happiness and what is it that chocolate is supposed to be fulfilling. What need is that? Happiness is impermanent. It doesn't last forever. So in order to keep happy, to stay happy, to continue to be happy, you need to feed your happiness. Nothing can survive without food, including happiness. And your happiness can die if you don't know how to nourish it. So let's talk about some ways to nourish happiness. And the first one is setting the intention to be happy. Being happy starts with the intention to be happy. And practicing an intention is kind of like driving a boat. You constantly have to look at where you're at and where you want to go and make adjustments. Sometimes they're major adjustments, sometimes they're minor adjustments. But if you just keep driving without paying attention, likely you'll veer off course. And just with happiness, if you have the intention to be happy, you have to keep looking at where am I right now? And where do I want to go? And what is going to get me there? making those adjustments wherever they're needed. One of those adjustments might be simply a smile. When you put a smile on your face, it relaxes hundreds of muscles in your face. And it's really hard to be crabby with a smile on your face. When you've got a toddler who's really upset, if you can get them to smile, their mood changes in just an instant. Because a smile can do that. It can do it for us too. As soon as you smile, you feel different. Another practice is practicing awe. Through mindfulness, we get in touch with the refreshing and joyful aspects of life in us and around us, the things that we can't touch when we live in forgetfulness. So we could drive down the street in forgetfulness and not see the beautiful blue sky with the puffy white clouds, because we're living in forgetfulness. But with mindfulness, we can look at that and feel the awe of the beautiful sky. Or feel the awe of the smile of a baby, or feel awe at the kindness of a stranger. We hear all these stories about people going above and beyond and doing kind things. And we can either just, that happened, or we can feel at awe that someone cares enough about other people to risk their life or to do something that's kind. So it takes us slowing down a little bit to be able to practice the awe. Otherwise, we just keep going and we go right past it. And so the next one is really giving yourself the gift of time to savor the good. When you see a beautiful tree, instead of continuing to walk on, stop for a couple of breaths. Just look at the tree and let the goodness and the beauty sink in. That's training ourselves to become aware of the beauty and training our brain to see the good in life. And when we do that, we're creating more happiness grooves in our brain instead of sadness grooves or anger grooves or frustration grooves. What we really want to do is create more neural pathways that relate to happiness. So we incline our brain toward happiness by doing that. We could go one step further than savoring the good, by building our gratitude muscle by beginning each day to think back about the day and see what were you grateful for. What little things and what big things really were you grateful for? Doing that helps us learn what really makes us happy. Because sometimes we think what's going to make us happy and what actually can make us happy are two different things. And when we look back on what we're grateful for, we see what made us happy. And then we can incline ourselves to do more of that. The quickest way to increase your happiness is to do something for someone else. When you make someone else happy, it makes you happy. That's one of the easiest ways to increase your happiness. And if you want your happiness to keep going on and on, another way is to just be happy for the happiness of others. The Dalai Lama says, if you can be happy when others are happy, you can always be happy, since there's always someone somewhere who is happy. So we don't need any external circumstance to make us happy. All we need to see is, oh, this person is happy. And we can feel their joy and be happy ourselves. Another one that kind of sounds like an oxymoron is letting go. But there's a joy that comes from letting go. Think about when you've cleaned out your closet and gotten rid of stuff you don't need. That good feeling that you have. Letting go of a rigid view of this is how things are supposed to be gives you that same good feeling. And it allows you to be happy with whatever is. allows you to be happy with the present moment, with reality, rather than being suffering or being upset because things aren't the way you wanted them to be. That life isn't turning out the way you planned. And a final one is to do what nourishes you. Sometimes we're too shy or worried about being vulnerable, so we don't do what nourishes us. But if we think about what really brings us joy in life, we can do more of that. Thich Nhat Hanh says, to be beautiful means to be yourself. You don't need to be accepted by others. You need to accept yourself. When you're born a lotus flower, be a beautiful lotus flower. Don't try to be a magnolia flower. If you crave acceptance and recognition and try to change yourself to fit what other people want you to be, you will suffer all your life. So knowing who you are and staying true to your center is really important for your happiness. And every moment of every day is another opportunity to increase your happiness. You start with the intention to be happy. Then you look closely at what actually brings you joy and what makes you suffer. And you'll realize that just coming back to the present moment, you can find all the things that you need to be happy for no reason. There's no need to wait for external circumstances or for the future in order to be happy.